Support for Prairie Public is provided by North Dakota's Electric Cooperatives, providing safe, reliable power, and committed to their member owners, the cooperative principals, and the communities they serve.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Main Street here at Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein. Coming up in the second part of today's show, we'll visit with Rick Guillon. He has a special guest in another edition of Prairie Plates.
As we begin Main Street today, if you believe seeing live music is sustenance for the soul, then you've come to the right place. Prairie Public's television service is celebrating 17 years of Prairie musicians with a brand new season starting tomorrow night on the television service of Prairie Public. Eric Dethridge sat down with Prairie Public Director of Television Barb Gravel, who co-founded Prairie Musicians with the late, great Bob Dambach, to talk about the diverse bands and solo artists from our region who will be featured this season.
Barb, excited to see you.
Hi, Eric. It's great to be here. I am so excited to talk about the 17th season of Prairie Musicians.
Barb, got to ask you, how do you pick the bands? I imagine you get lots and lots of submissions. Aside from performing original content, what's sort of the criteria?
Well, I have to say, choosing the bands is one of my favorite things because I scour the internet and I attend different musical presentations at different venues around the region. But of course, it's hard for me to get throughout Northwest Minnesota and throughout the entire state of North Dakota. So I do hear a lot of things online, and then I do get a lot of submissions. So I will say, to start out, we are very thankful to have the funding that we do for the program, which is from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and from the North Dakota Council on the Arts. And so sometimes the funding does dictate the state, if you will, of where the bands would come from. Beyond that, it is required that it is original music. Each season, we feature 8 to 10 bands, usually 10, and with that, I like to present an eclectic mix of different genres and different styles that I feel the audience is not only going to appreciate and enjoy, but be a little bit surprised at. And so, for example, instead of having 8 or 10 country bands or 8 or 10 folk bands, I like each season to mix it up with a little gypsy jazz, with a little polka, with a little blues, opera. Maybe we have hip hop. Present to our audience what is around the region. And that's what we are living amongst, is musicians who create every style of music you can imagine.
And yeah, you'll hear the eclectic sounds as we go on today. In fact, the premiere episode, which is tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Mountain on Prairie Public's television service, features what is billed as a kind of jazz musician, which is great because the Fargo-Moorhead area, for example, is kind of a hotbed for some live jazz, so that's a great choice. But hearing these guys, or this artist, Connor Lee, I'm hearing all kinds of different styles, sort of surf guitar, sort of a swampy sound. Tell us about Connor Lee, your kickoff artist tomorrow.
Connor Lee is, I would say, in my mind, a master musician. Kudos to the MSUM Music Department. That department has kicked out so much talent over the years that we have featured on the series. Connor went to MSUM and gained a guitar performance and a jazz studies degree. And over the years, several years ago, he was featured as a guitarist with musician Natalie Fidler, and then again with another musician on Prairie Musicians, Jessica Vines. And he since has written his own music, and that is what he is playing and performing and showcasing on Prairie Musicians this season. He is our kickoff show on Thursday, and you're going to love it. It's a mix of jazz and rock and a little bit of funk. But it's funny because when he did his interview, he said that he grew up kind of emulating some of the parodies of Weird Al Yankovic.
Hey, that's not a bad place to start. I mean, you can't deny Weird Al's musicianship, that's for sure.
Oh, exactly. And so, yeah, Connor, just a great guy, so talented, and we're lucky to have had him on the show.
Hey, we got a song to sample for you right now from Connor Lee. This is called Candyland.
Thank you.
Barb, sounds like Connor Lee's got a full band, almost that spaghetti western feel to it. A pretty hot stew, I would say, for the sound.
Yes. Oh, so much, such good music coming from him and the group. A lot of the tunes that he's playing on the episode, he wrote during kind of that COVID year. And so it's quite reflective and experimental and a little bit edgy. And I think the audience is going to love it.
Yeah, out of the pandemic, I think came a lot of creativity just because there was just a lot of time, a lot of downtime. So that
exactly.
makes sense. So yeah, Connor Lee kicks off Prairie Musicians tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Central. Then next Thursday, February 6th, you've got a guy with a pretty cool sounding name, Dylan Sperlin. What is his story, Barb?
Well, Dylan Sperlin, he is originally from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and he's got vocals all day long, Eric. I am not kidding you. He's got the widest range of vocal ability, just the friendliest guy, and I'll tell you, his lyrics, they're just so heartfelt, and I really, really am glad we were able to showcase him, and I know the audience is going to really appreciate hearing his talent.
And we got a tune. It's called One Dance With You.
Hey, baby, I realize that there's no chance, but do you think maybe I could have this dance? The night's almost over. The band's playing their last song. It's all over. I'll go back where I belong. But before we run out of time, I need you to understand that I don't mean to make you mine. I just want to take your hand and dance just one dance with you. Yeah, that's all I really want to do.
There's Dylan Sperlin, One Dance With You, who will be performing on the February 6th version of Prairie Musicians. If you're just joining us, I'm Eric Deathers, joined by Prairie Public's Director of Television, Barb Gravel. We're previewing a brand new season of Prairie Musicians, which kicks off tomorrow night. Now Barb, you mentioned earlier, you talked about, you know, this is a live performance almost. And it got me to thinking, like, there's definitely an art and a craft to specifically a television performance. There's lighting, there's camera angles, it's how to look at the camera. Like, what goes into that behind the scenes that makes this product that people are going to see?
Well, Eric, over the years, we have definitely refined the process. But as far as the musicians are concerned, they come in. Some have done TV, some have not. Some have recorded albums, which is very different from a television recording. So this is almost kind of a one-take wonder, but we are able to record a few takes if need be. It is challenging if musicians are used to having an audience in front of them and playing off of that, because in our studio, it's incredibly dark. It's incredibly cold because of all the lights. We need to keep the air conditioning on, even in the middle of December.
Right.
And it is a different experience. I know that a couple have mentioned, like, I don't know where to look. And I just always encourage them. Just imagine there's an audience and you're just looking straight out and trying to play off of them. But there's no doubt that it does give a different sense and a different energy to the band.
What about movement? If they want to move around and, you know, do a solo, do you tell me you got to sort of stay within a certain area and don't bob your head around too much? I mean, how does that direction go?
That's a great question, because many of them ask that. I feel like many of them feel like they do need to stand kind of still, maybe not statue-like, but I tell them, do whatever you're going to do on stage. If you would do that on stage, just do it here. Certainly, we do have spots of light centered upon each of them, but if they want to, you know, kick it and dance around, that's fabulous. We are covering the show with 6 cameras. And so most often I'm always have some kind of shot of anybody who's jumping around or kind of bumping into each other or whatever. And so, yeah, I just want them to present themselves as they would on stage in a live venue.
So next up, Barb, is the February 13th episode of Prairie Musicians with a folk Americana duo, Morning Bird.
Love Morning Bird. So this duo, Jill Burks and Rob Wheeler, they are from Hibbing, Minnesota.
Somebody's hometown, right?
Guess what I just saw the other day.
No Direction Home.
I guess I exactly did. And Jill and Rob really have played upon their folksy, I mean, it must be in the water up there.
It has to be.
It's got
the iron ore, maybe. I don't know.
Mother,
don't you stop praying, oh Father, keep right on praying. Yeah, don't you stop praying, before you know your whole world, it's all gone. You better keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Before you know your whole world, it's all gone.
Oh my gracious, when you hear Morning Bird, you're going to think this is a throwback. They're folksy, kind of just organic, so earthy, and I just love their lyrics. I love how they play off each other, and their energy, as you see on the set and on camera, is fabulous.
Remind me a little bit of the Civil Wars. I don't even remember them from a few years ago. They were out for like a minute. They had this hot album. Everybody loved it. They were acclaimed, and then they sort of just broke up and went away, but they had that real kind of interplay, that kind of hot sound, and these guys remind me of that a lot. It's got kind of a mysterious, noirish feel for sure.
Your lamps trimmed and burning.
And very cool sounding stuff. All these artists, Barb, really sound like they're at the top of their game for a television performance, but just the sound that has been honed and practiced. I mean, you're really getting the cream of the crop here. It seems like that's been the case with prairie musicians over the years. Like the game just, you know, it's game on. It keeps getting, the bar is raised every single season. As kind of the brains behind this program over the years, Barb, how do you see prairie musicians as making the arts and culture scene in this part of the world, dare I say, better?
Eric, I feel like this series has elevated the opportunities for musicians, for artists, either established or just starting out. I feel like musicians who are maybe in the infancy stages, dare I say, in maybe high school, could watch this show and realize that being a musician is something quite attainable. Obviously, there are many degrees of being a musician in this world today, but the people that we feature have such an ability of showcasing themselves, their abilities, their art, their craft, and really showing that they are happy in what they are doing. Yes, they may not be Taylor Swift, but they are enjoying their life and doing what they were put on this earth to do, which is share their talent, share their positivity, share their insight, and, you know, maybe help people get through a day with some of this music that they are performing, and really hoping that people come away with a sense of, oh, peace or happiness from hearing them.
That's a beautiful thing. And I think you really can feel that when you watch Prairie Musicians. So, Barb, we're up to the February 20th episode. An artist who's a testament to the value of something you were just kind of alluding to, music education. Lula is a classically trained musician, right?
She is. She is a classically trained musician, professional. What a range she has. And she's from Palmer, Minnesota originally. And we are so lucky to have her. Another testament to the fact that, you know, getting started in a music career is not easy, but when you do it with a sensible head and all the tools that you have, and she's out there all the time, she's performing here and there and everywhere, you got to put in the time, but I really see great things for this gal.
Yeah, she plays the piano beautifully here on this song called Lavender Skies.
Don't you know you have a lavender child? He's never still, no, he's running wild. Don't try to tame him, cause he'll always run. He moves too quick, you'll be stuck in the dust.
That was Lula with Lavender Skies. You are listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. If you're just tuning in, we've got Barb Gravel, Prairie Public's Director of Television, with us previewing a new season on our long-running showcase of regional talents, Prairie Musicians. It premieres tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain with Connor Lee. We're now up to February 27th. And Barb, the artist that's on this show has an unusual name and quite a backstory.
Yes, he does. This is the Matt Arthur contraption.
Contraption.
Yes.
Found that kind of interesting, yeah.
I know. Yeah, that's a fun one. So Matt Arthur, he's from Ellendale, Minnesota, and he is a man who has been blind since birth. And let me tell you, that has definitely not held this guy back. He is a spitfire. He is someone who, since birth, has dealt with his blindness in a way only to help humanity, writing these songs, not letting it hold him back. And so it was such a ray of light and sunshine to have him in our studio. He made all of us laugh all of the time in the studio with his fun stories.
Well, there's a real beauty and vulnerability in his voice, a real authentic soul on the prairie. Let's hear a little bit of Matt Arthur contraption. Barb, what's the song that that we have here?
The Way I See It.
I'm just an ordinary man. I've had my share of dreams and goals, ambitions and plans. In my life, I've walked many a hard road. I've had some people ask me, how do you do it without your sight? Well, you don't see with your eyes, then you see in your mind. And do you really care about your life? You gotta stand up for your rights and all that you believe in. You gotta never be afraid to be a force. Reckon with always, yes, I was born a blind, stubborn man, and I'll always be a blind, stubborn man.
It's The Way I See It by Matt Arthur Contraption here on this preview of Prairie Musicians, and just love the lyrics. He kind of alludes to some of the things you were talking about.
He does. You know, the line that says, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. Mm. Just so telling of his true testament to dealing, you know, with his blindness. And of course, I love the line, born a blind, stubborn man. And one of the stories that he told us with regard to him growing up and going to a blind school in the Minneapolis area was that he insisted that his friend drop him off in the center of the city and just drive away. And he was determined to find his way back to his home on his own without any knowledge of where this person dropped him off in the city of Minneapolis.
Wow.
And this is the type of mentality that he had about being independent and just being able to conquer as much as he could and to not let, the fact that he was blind hold him back.
So that was Matt Arthur Contraption on this preview of Prairie Musicians. You can see Matt and his band on February 27th. Barb, I got to ask, what have musicians told you over the years about the impact of the show?
Oh, my. Over the years, so many musicians have said that, of course, they appreciate being on the show, but they are astounded by the numbers of people that come up to them in live performances or connect with them on social media and say, I saw you on Prairie Musicians. I love the set. You know, it encouraged me to look your music up on Spotify or other platforms. And so we really hope that we're contributing to, you know, the musicians' welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, you can't put a price on. I mean, it's touching everyone. This show, I mean, you can see it on YouTube, of course, throughout the world. And it just makes each musician be able to connect with so many more people.
It just shows to everybody what a great scene we have in this area and what talent we have. So it's just such a wonderful, wonderful showcase. So Barb, there's a little bit of a gap between the February 27th episode of Prairie Musicians and the next one. That is on March 20th. But wow, is it worth the wait? You got some New Orleans flavor this time.
We do. Oh my goodness. This group, the Rusty Crayfish Brass Band, is quite a find for me. This is a group of 9 musicians coming from the Brainerd, Minnesota area. A few of them are actually music educators in schools in that area.
Yep.
And so that's fun. But this group came together, and I will tell you, they are a fun-loving group. We've got sousaphone, trumpet, trombone, drums, saxophone, and the studio was really rocking that day, Eric.
I bet you it was bouncing. New Orleans style, yep.
And they stand when they, it was almost kind of marching band-esque, if you will. And so that was a lot of fun. And they, I mean, you think of big band music, but they incorporate funk, rock, and hip-hop into some of their songs. And so that makes them, oh my gosh, the most fun-loving group. I cannot wait until the audience sees this show.
Yeah, you're going to feel like you're in a second line in the Crescent City. It's the Rusty Crayfish Band. Let's hear a little bit of them right now. On Our Way. Yep, you got to have a sousaphone if you want to call yourself a New Orleans-style band. That's the Rusty Crayfish Band. On this preview of Prairie Musicians, I'm Eric Dethridge, along with Barb Gravel, our talented director of television, who's behind this long-running Prairie Public TV show, very popular one at that.
You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Craig Blumenschein. Barb and Eric will be back in the second half of the show to preview more artists on the 17th season of Prairie Musicians, including a Minot singer-songwriter who also writes children's books. Stay tuned. Glad you're back with us on this Wednesday edition of Main Street. I'm Craig Blumenschein. If you're just joining us, we're previewing an all-new season of Prairie Musicians, which kicks off tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Central on Prairie Public's television service. Barb Gravel, the co-founder of the show, is with Eric Dethridge.
Okay, Barb, for the March 27th show, we've got a Fargo musician who was inspired at a very early age by the biggest venue in town. Do tell.
Yes, Jake Ingemar, oh my gracious. He is an incredibly focused musician on his vocal nuances, his abilities. He exercises his voice. He really challenges his vocal cords. I mean, he is next level. He saw a show at the Fargo Dome and was like
5 years old, right?
Like yeah, when he was just really, really, really young. His dad took him to a show and he was inspired and he learned to play the guitar. And ever since then, he has been quite a force in the Fargo-Moorhead area. He's played with some greats and it doesn't surprise me. I mean, he is a great guy and so much fun. He brought his dad to the taping. And I love that when musicians bring their families to the taping during the actual performances, the families usually get to sit with me in the control room and see all the cameras and see how I talk to the camera people. So it's usually quite exciting.
It must be quite an honor, right? For the parents to witness that.
Yeah, it's usually, and especially if they haven't, you know, been in a TV type studio. And so that was a really great and rewarding day.
Each time you lie awake, ain't got nothing, ain't got one thing to say. And it'll lead nowhere, cooking up your chores. But you don't care for that anymore. You want emotion and you beg and you plead. But you don't dare to go out stepping in the street. Ain't no lover there in your arms. We'll stop you crying.
Okay, Jake Ingemar, Learn from the Girls. Man, Jake is really good, Barb. What a superb voice. And he'll be on the March 27th episode of Prairie Musicians. Now, the next one is April the 3rd, and the artist is a man who has been playing for years, but it's who he plays to that is quite special.
Yes, he is, oh my gracious, a great, great, great guy. He actually works with hospice patients. And this is something that he's done for several years and just so rewarding. When you talk about music and the power that it has with regard to healing and comfort and just calming, people don't usually realize that. I mean, you think of rock music, but, you know, there's so much music that's used to kind of calm and relax people. And in his hospice occupation, he works with patients and has such strong, warm vocals, great intonation. He is, Jackson Burns is from Alexandria, Minnesota, and has been in many bands over the years and performs a variety of styles, including pop, country, blues, and folk. But his most rewarding approach to music is with his hospice patients, for sure.
Can imagine how challenging that must be from an emotional level, but also quite rewarding too, I'm sure. That's Jackson Burns, and we've got My Left Hand from Jackson. Let's hear a little bit of that now.
Here in my left hand is a story of heartaches and glory. Work for the drunk and lonely. Damn sure work for the holy. Here in my left hand, there's a story of desperation, calloused up from motivation, quiet search for affirmation. And it's the same man working for you, working for me, back pocket full of melodies. It's the same man. Reaching out to hold firmly to my left hand, if I ever decide. If I ever
All right, Barb,
decide.
We're up to another band with a clever name, the Duly Noted Acoustic Duo. What can you tell me about these two?
Well, let me tell you, Dan Kaufman and the talented Scott Guttermson, they have such an energy. They have such a cadence between them. Their phrasing and the lyrics and the music just come together, and it's just smooth. It's just enjoyable to listen to.
Tomatoes, the great unknown, smiled the room to call your own. A care package, a microwave. Little things that you had saved. We're not alone in some strange land. The sound of cars in traffic jams. Loud kids outside, humidity. Alarm clock said, wait patiently.
And I'm so glad that we were able to feature them. They're just the greatest guys. They are, again, another group that's putting in the time. You can see these guys all over town. And I encourage our audience, go out and see these musicians live. I know it's a little bit later sometimes. They start at 9. But, you know, make it a point a couple times a month to get out there and see these musicians because they are working so hard. It's so enjoyable to see them play live.
All right, so we are down, Barb, to our last artist to preview for this season of Prairie Musicians, and this guy is from the Magic City of Minot, North Dakota.
Yes, we have Max Patzner. Max is a great guy. He was in the group Wild Hands some years ago, and he is on his own now. He has become also an author of children's books and also an artist for those books, and has been doing so many great things, especially in the Minot area, kind of in that northwestern North Dakota area. I mean, he's doing murals in libraries. He's everywhere. Primarily a folk musician style, but very, very, very talented. Kind of created his own reverbed microphone that we used in the show. And so that will be interesting for the audience to see. It's actually kind of a jar on top of a microphone, and it kind of creates a little bit of a Radiohead voice or a sound almost.
Okay, oh, cool.
I can't wait till you hear that. It's
going to
be a great
one. What are we
going
to hear? We got a little sample. What are we going to play?
Yeah, we've got a great song. This is Max Patzner, Was It a Dream?
Strange love, it's indescribable. It's got me dancing on the window ledge. True heart, too good to be true. Got me dancing on the window ledge. Your love has got me thinking thoughts. Was it all a dream? Was it all a dream? If it's all a dream, I don't wanna wake up.
And that's going to be Thursday, April the 27th at 9 p.m. Central, 8 o'clock Mountain. That's the season finale of Prairie Musicians. Barb, the season premiere is tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain. And who's your first guest again, Connor?
Connor Lee. We've got Connor Lee on Thursday night, and it is going to be a great, great show. I encourage everyone to tune in or catch it when you can on other platforms as Passport, PBS app, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. I do want to give a shout out to a couple of regional, and I really love having local partners for the show. And Livewire has done a great job with our sound over the years. And again, this season, we partnered up with the White House Company this year. They so graciously contributed a couple of velvet couches. We did talk about the set.
All right, set. Yeah, yeah. Give us the skinny on the set. What are people going to see?
The set is different every year, Eric, and it is such a fun challenge, and I don't know if those two words go together, but it is a fun challenge to be able to come up with something artistic but simple that doesn't take away from the music, but that kind of contributes just something attractive to the eye kind of in the background. And so I saw a little spark inspo, if you will, how the kids say today, on Pinterest, and it was lampshades.
Oh, lampshades. Nothing says cool like lampshades.
Lampshades are in this year in Prairie Musicians land. And so, you know what, we thought about it, and we're like, what if we had all these different shapes and sizes and colors of lampshades? And I thought, well, we could literally the very next week. The production manager here at Prairie Public, Andy Garski, saw an ad for the lamp repair shop on 13th Avenue was going out of business.
Oh, wow. What timing.
Having an estate sale, literally. Oh. And it was, you know, kind of over the weekend. And we said, you know what, we're going to go there and see what they have. They had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lampshades for us to choose from. And so we got some of the most eclectic, really fun, fun looks of lampshades. And with that, I thought, let's pair some velvet couches. And it's a really different set that we have done in the past, but it's really classy and elegant. And so I think the audience is going to like it.
Makes sense. I mean, the music has elevated this season, as it has over every season. Barb Gravel, you've done such a fantastic job, you and your crew, with this television program. I was proud to see it on a billboard the other day driving on 13th Avenue in Fargo. It really sort of speaks to our mission and our values here at Prairie Public. So congrats on another fine season. Can't wait to see it tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Central, 8 Mountain, here on Prairie Public on the television service and online as well. Barb, can't thank you enough for hanging out and previewing the season.
Thank you so much. We do it for the viewers. Thank you so much.
Barb Gravel of Prairie Public's Television Service and co-founder of Prairie Musicians with Prairie Public's Radio Services Program Manager, Eric Dethridge. If you'd like more info on the artists performing this season and a complete schedule, visit prairiepublic.org.
I like bagels.
Some barbecue,
applesauce, and some nice red beets.
It's time for Prairie Plates. We've got the music, kind of a walk-up music thing we do each and every Wednesday here on Prairie Public. Rick Guillon joins us in the Main Street studio. Rick, you have a guest in our studio today. Why don't you introduce him for our listeners?
Yeah, we have a guest here, Alex Shabati. He's the beverage director for the Luna Network of Restaurants in Fargo. So that's quite a few these days. So it's Luna, Moongata at Brujala, Soul Avenue Kitchen, Luna Market, House of Nudes and Buns in Brujala. That one's always fun to say.
Yep.
And Unicorn Park Fine Foodery.
Yes.
Did I get all those correct?
Yes. They don't all have beverage programs, but those are all part of the same family.
And then we'll get to a new one or a revamped one called Nova Eatery in a little bit here. But yeah, Alex, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Absolutely.
Alex, we are really glad that you are here. I am curious. You have a wide array of responsibilities here with different tastes, etc. How do you approach drink menus for such a diverse group of establishments?
Each of the menus is a little bit different. Obviously, we've got a consistent approach to how we're doing food with how Chef Ryan is approaching everything, looking to things that are small scale, sustainably oriented. And we approach the beverage programs in much the same way that we're looking at the food for each location. So when we're talking like, say, Luna, for example, Luna is definitely much more grounded in that traditional fine dining aspect. And so when we're looking at beverages for that program, we're looking to things that tend to match the standardized wine program a little bit. We're looking for things that are going to tend to kind of fit what you'd often expect to see on a beverage program in the area. So you've got like your Cabernet from California, and you've got your nice oaky Chardonnay, and we're still looking at those traditional styles of wines, but we're looking for ones that are, you know, maybe a little bit more eclectic. Maybe they're coming from slightly different areas, smaller scale producers. But then you look at a program like Moongata, and we've specifically built that one to be a natural wine bar. And so while we have a lot of things on there that can still be fairly recognizable, we've approached it more from the perspective of finding something that is still grounded in familiarity. Like, we have a Malbec on there, but it's not coming from Argentina where you would generally expect to find it. Our Malbec is instead coming from its native home of the sudwest or southwest of France. So we're looking at wines that are just kind of stretching what we would probably think of as the traditional comfort zone to show that, you know, there's a lot of good stuff coming from all over. And these are areas that typically have really good sustainability track records. They tend to be less expensive. They tend to be more, they tend to be less intervention in their winemaking practices.
How do you judge that? How do you judge sustainability from products that are created a long way away from Fargo?
Sustainability is something that I'll do a lot of personal homework into. When we are typing up the menus, we do have a little code system that we put at the bottom that's going to denote when a wine is natural, organic, biodynamic, vegan, or minimalist intervention in those processes. And some of that just requires a little bit of personal sleuthing. Some wineries will have specific certifications that they've gone out and earned for their products. But there's a lot of other wineries that, you know, we've just kind of always done it this way. It doesn't make sense for us to go out and spend thousands of dollars over the course of several years to get a formal organic certification in the U.S. when we're based in Europe and most of our product goes there. But that doesn't mean that they're not practicing organic. But sometimes that takes a little bit of digging and some homework to find out.
Rick, he's pursuing an advanced certification here. Let's get into that.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your sommelier certifications.
Yes, so I am currently a certified sommelier, which is the level 2 in the Court of Master Sommeliers. There's only a few of those in the area, And to my knowledge, most of them are either in distribution or have left the industry altogether. So there are not very many people around in the area that are utilizing this in a restaurant setting, which is definitely where the court specifically is geared versus, say, like the WSET, which we find a lot in retail and distribution in particular. So the sommelier program is geared to being on the floor of a restaurant in particular. And for those that have seen the Somm documentary, it's going to be very similar to that. Maybe not as intense or dramatic as they made it seem in the video, but where I am working towards, I am currently enrolled in the advanced sommelier program, and I'm working towards that. I've taken the test a couple times, and that is a lot closer to what you're going to see in the documentary. So it is a big step up, rather than being really focused on a particular segment of classic wine. Now you're starting to see questions that are about, you know, the wine world as a whole. Kind of anything is fair game at this point when you're looking at like the theoretical knowledge of the wine world.
So you can use a lot of that knowledge too, and that's probably not a part of the test, but to pair with food, and particularly you're at Moongata and Bruhalla most of the time. Can you talk a little bit about the dishes there that are paired with some of these wines?
Yes, and this is, I think, what was really so fun about building the wine list for Moongata is because we have so many different restaurants going on, not only just our own, but just businesses throughout the building. And so when I was putting the menu together, we had in mind wines that would pair not just with the raw bar that we're attached to, but with all of the other businesses that are in there. And so, of course, when you're talking raw seafood, it doesn't make sense necessarily to put a big, bold Cabernet Sauvignon with freshly shucked oysters. You're going to have a hard time picking up the subtle nuances of the six rotating varieties that we try to keep on hand. But some of those full-bodied wines do make sense when you're looking at, say, like a burger from Unicorn Park. Like that's definitely calling for one of those nice plush Grenache type options that we have on the menu. We've got Italian fare that's going to work when you're looking at pizza, when you look at the Asian influences of noodles and buns. We do have a lot of wines from, say, like Germany, or some wines that have a little bit of residual sugar, which are good for some of those savory, umami, or spicy characteristics.
So you also, and this is a big trend right now, you also feature NA cocktails, and you're a mixologist as well. Well, it's dry January right now, but it's the mocktail thing is kind of a trend right now.
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of movement towards moving away from consuming alcohol in the traditional sense.
Does that impact your job, Alex?
We do definitely need to do a little bit more with mocktails in general, and as we're looking at some of the new concepts, they've started to play a little bit of a bigger role. I think it ties a lot into what I'm doing at Bernie's in particular, because we can take what we're doing there and then extend it into the restaurants. But Bernie's has put a lot of emphasis into building a full section for non-alcoholic options.
Now, the owners of these restaurants you work for just received another James Beard semi-finalist nomination.
Congratulations. That's cool.
You bet. Thank you.
It's very cool. And it's a national semi-finalist nomination for Best Restaurateur, which they were nominated for last year. So I think that's really neat. And you all are doing some really, really good things. And is there anything you want to talk about with the nomination here?
Nikki and Ryan are absolutely doing a fantastic job running those restaurants. And, it definitely shows in the fact that we're continuing to open up new projects along the way. The way that they oversee running everything is just such a good model, I think, for what we want to see in the area, especially when it comes to inclusiveness for the staff. We put a lot of emphasis in particular into making sure that everybody is feeling welcome there, both employees and guests alike. And I think that really shows in what we see at the end, that attention to detail that Chef Ryan puts in to sourcing all of those ingredients and making sure that there's just, at the end of the day, a really good quality product coming out of that kitchen.
And from what I've observed, grow is one of the very correct words to use for your organization. And it seems like something's always expanding, something exciting's always happening. There's an event coming up this week. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, so as a lot of people have heard, we do have a new restaurant that's coming in. That's going to be the Nova Eatery and Supper Club. That is going into the old Birnbaum space, which we were fortunate enough to be able to acquire. It has been a very quick turnaround for us. I was able to check out the space the other day. They're hard at work on doing a lot of real in-depth cleaning and getting the space prepped. It's something where Nikki and Ryan are going to be looking for some crowdfunding in particular. It's a real short turnaround in order to get those doors open in the time frame that we're hoping for. So on Thursday, we are going to be doing an open house for Nova. That's going to be running from 5:30 to 9 in the space itself. In order to help with the crowdfunding that they're looking at, there's going to be a $20 suggested donation to get into the door. That's going to include half of that, $10 going to the FM Coalition to End Homelessness. And then with that, you're going to get a couple drink tickets, access to the space, some of the food that they're putting out, and an opportunity to come see what we're doing. They're going to be doing some live auctions that night. There are some that are up right now. If you check out Facebook, for example, there are things that they're running up until the event, some things that they're running the night of the event, and some things that will be continued along the way, such as, for example, you can have Chef Mandy bake a private cake for you.
I want that.
That's probably going to be a pretty popular one.
She's a good baker, I can tell you that.
There is one out there as well to have a private cocktail party.
I'll take that too.
With myself. So I'd come out to your place, put some drinks together. And then there's smaller things as well, like at Nudes and Buns, they give away free dumplings for a year once in a while. There's some of that up for auction, or free popovers for a year over at Luna. So all kinds of little things where it's like you'll see your return on that. But as Nikki has described it, we don't need free money. We need fast money. They need that equity in order to invest things into the restaurant, get that construction done, get the doors open so that we can start greeting those people.
We'll look forward to that. Rick, thank you so much for bringing guests in. Alex Chibade, he's currently the beverage director for the Luna Network of Businesses here in Fargo. Awesome discussion.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Prairie Plates.
We'll see you next week, Craig.
Thanks, Rick.
This is Dakota Datebook for January 29th. Winter in North Dakota can be a challenge, but it also offers great experiences and traditions. Dancing is a year-round activity, and in the winter it was a great way for communities to come together, burn off energy, and socialize. Dancing became a popular winter activity for many clubs and groups. In the fall of 1912 in Grand Forks, the Knights of Columbus announced their winter dance schedule. Season opened with a party in October, followed by various dances leading up to the holiday party on December 30th, the annual ball on January 3rd, and an Easter party in March. The season ended with a tennis party in April. All of the dances were held in the elegant club rooms of the Metropolitan Block, with the Finley Orchestra providing music for the season. In the winter of 1915-1916, the Elks Lodge in Fargo hosted a winter dance series. The first dance took place in mid-November. By January, they were preparing for their classiest winter dance featuring a snowball party. While details were scarce, newspaper reports promised new and exciting features. The final dance took place in February and was open to more than just members. It was expected to be a large, informal gathering. In Bismarck, the Country Club held its annual midwinter dance. In 1921, it was promoted as the largest social event in the city, with the dance being a highlight for club members. Clubs weren't the only ones hosting winter dances. In 1921, the Cavalier County Farmers Press reported that the Harvey Center Young People were organizing a midwinter dance at the town hall. This event had a charitable twist. Proceeds would go to the Near East Relief, which supported children in Armenia and Syria, as well as Russian refugees. These winter dances were an important way for people to gather, celebrate, and give back to the community. Today's Dakota Datebook, written by Sarah Walker. I'm Ann Alquist.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
We would like to thank the North Dakota Council on the Arts for supporting arts programming here on Prairie Public. Hey, 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 hey.
that's a wrap for today's edition of Main Street. We are deeply grateful you've spent time with us. Tomorrow on Main Street, Dr. Jack Russell Weinstein will stop by our studio again for another edition of Philosophical Currents. This is a heavy topic, fun to discuss, weird to think about. Death bots, will they be in our future? That's ahead tomorrow on Main Street, and we hope you'll join us.